Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is the author of the book Willpower, Ross Taylor. How are you today, Ross?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's great to have you here on the show, and thank you for taking the time to join us today on the podcast. For our audience, Ross is a leading UK and international clinical psychologist, corporate and leadership coach, businesswoman, author, TV and radio presenter, and commentator. And we're very happy to have her today join us as a guest to talk about her book and the themes and topics surrounding it. So without further ado, Ross, my first question for you is, what inspired you to be an author?
Well, I was in this wonderful position that I was asked. I don't think I, in that lovely way that women have, or not lovely way, I don't think I'd have put myself forward. So I was actually asked. Somebody heard me speak about leadership and the skills on how to be successful at a Westminster conference. And then I did a BBC radio program, and they had heard both. And I think one publisher was in the studio at the BBC radio program, and she asked me, had I thought of writing a book? And I said, no. And then I was asked to write a book, which was fantastic.
Great. And going to...
Now written eight. Got in the groove.
Yes. And going to the book, actually. So the topic of willpower is something that I have personally seen a lot of people talk about, and this is why we thought the book was absolutely fascinating. But one of the sort of things that really stuck out for me personally was that you say that willpower has been a proven factor to predict success better than IQ. Why is that?
Well, there's a kind of certain threshold for brightness where if you're more bright, it doesn't make that much of a difference in terms of what you do with your life. It really is what you do with your life. So it's not what you've been born with, but what you use your perseverance for to get to certain goals. And there are many people who are very clever, but you know, lights are under bushels, and they do nothing with themselves. So if you've got that lovely willpower, which means that you keep doing things, you keep on the road to delivery and goals, then you get to be successful, whereas IQ doesn't necessarily correlate with that.
Right, I understand. And would you perhaps say that the sort of factor of IQ is a lot more static, and although it's easy to predict, I think that human factor to each and every one of us can definitely be a game changer, would it not be?
Oh, I think willpower is an absolute game changer. We need to take our talents and then do something with them. And now, knowing what our talents are, that's another wonderful psychological piece. I mean, as a psychologist, I spend my time helping people understand what their talents are and how they can take them forward. We often, because we're used to our talents, we take them for granted and we don't realize they're unique.
Yes.
It's taking that lovely uniqueness forward that is the essence of willpower.
Now, talking about talents, what do you think are the biggest obstacles we face when trying to harness our willpower and in turn harness our talents?
Oh, it's glorious habit. You know, we often go for short-term fixes, which really undermine those lovely long-term goals and fixtures that we want to have in our life. And it is habit that's set very early on in our existences. They say years 0 to 3. And if these habits, they are there waiting just to come back. And so understanding where they come from, why they're there, and overcoming habit is the major, major obstacle that we have to overcome.
Now, talking about habits, speaking in a professional sense, habits are something which we definitely form in our working lives, no question about that. But in your experience, having worked with so many people, so many organizations, is there perhaps any one habit that sticks out that you've noticed?
For women, it's not selling themselves enough. It's not stepping forward. It's not coming to the front of things. For men, maybe that's slightly different. They have the habit, perhaps, of overstating their talents and then perhaps living to regret that. So I think we often, the sexes, have different habits.
Right.
I think maybe generally it's being time poor. I think we keep on with things that we shouldn't. We should delegate things that we hang on to because they think they're dear to us and they're important. And if we let that go and just focused on priorities, that would be so much better. I'm talking personally, of course, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And going back to the book, there you give us a lot of useful tools and strategies on improving our willpower. Do you have a favourite and why?
Can I choose two?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think it all goes back to the brain and how the brain works. And it's really a war of two brains. It's our upper brain, which has lovely planning and gorgeous goals and exactly what we're going to do with our life or our bodies or our minds. And then we've got the lower brain, where our habits, our old habits exist. That's in the limbic system. You don't have to remember where it is, but it's just lower down in the brain. And so we've got to really tackle that more pleasure-principled lower brain with our more higher-ordered, upper-principled, well-principled upper brain. And so the two techniques I love, one is pausing. Just when you've decided you're going to have an alcohol-free week and your friend in the pub at a meeting hands you that glass of wine, and before you know it, it's in your hand and you're just about to drink it. It's to pause and say, now hang on a minute, what did I just say to myself I wasn't going to do this week? Put it down on the counter and just pick up another drink of a non-alcoholic variety. So pausing, and maybe it's not even pause and plan, it's plan, pause and plan. It's having a plan that when you go out, that you have a fallback. You've got a plan B where you don't just reach for that glass of wine. So pausing, just stopping, distracting yourself can be really helpful. They say it's about 10 minutes rather, that we take to be distracted from wanting something like a piece of chocolate or another cake or a biscuit. If we take 10 minutes to be distracted and do something else, then we forget all about it. How good is that? And the other lovely thing is the 3-week rule, that if you want to establish a new habit, it takes 3 weeks. So to establish a new one and overcome an old one, it's 3 weeks, and then another 9 weeks of repetition. So it's a sort of 12-week rule. And if you've had it for 10, 20, 30 years, then what's 12 weeks? So I love these two things. They're very simple, and I think simple things work.
Great. That's a fascinating insight. And going back to the work that you do, one of the core aspects that really stuck out for me was the fact that you talk about the mindset behind willpower and that it's something that we need to hone and understand in order to create that willpower. How do we do that in the face of everyday disruptions and distractions in both our professional and personal life?
Do you know, it's just, it's such a challenge because we're all so busy nowadays, and we're, you know, life is filled with distractions. So the best thing we can do is remind ourselves as to what were our goals. Stick them somewhere on the fridge, on your desk, somewhere in the front of a diary, because we just forget. So that's number one. Number two, I think, is being optimistic. If we remember that we've overcome something before, then tell yourself, look, I coped before, I can cope again. It's these very, very simple pieces. And also saying to yourself, look, I'm okay, I can manage this. And I think the lovely research that shows if you believe you have willpower, then you have willpower.
So yes, yes.
If you have that wonderful circle of optimism, then that really works. Now, becoming optimistic is not that easy. I know I used to be a pessimist. I used to have to sit on the edge of my bed every morning for 3 weeks, of course, and just visualize the day and imagine reaching coffee time and things were good, reaching lunchtime, yes, things are going well. I was such a worrier. I firmly believed that something was just waiting around the corner to trip me up and disrupt what I was going to do. So I had to really learn to stop worrying and to start being realistically optimistic. I think the other thing to do is to understand that these habits that live in that lower limbic system are kind of waiting to burst back. They're called extinction bursts. And it often happens in that first 3 weeks where we're trying to establish that new good behavior. And be aware that it's there, that your lower brain is just waiting to go back to these old habits. So be aware, if you do go back, it's not the end, it's just an extinction burst. And you simply say, get back on track tomorrow, all is well, I just had a little burst yesterday, not a problem. So it's that lovely optimism, that picking yourself up and starting again, that's really important.
Yes, and as the famous saying goes, whether you think you can or you cannot, you're right either way.
That really is it. Yes, absolutely. I think there's another piece too, with yes. So many disruptions and distractions. If we streamline our lives a little bit, you know, if you are wanting to do something like run a marathon, then be aware that you can't perhaps have the same social life that you had before. If you want to go out running early in the morning, then have your kit right beside your bedside so you don't have to go searching for it. It's making life easier and more streamlined in one sense, it's one piece of your life, so that the other can be focused on. That's really quite important.
Very interesting. I certainly could take that advice to heart, considering the amount of times I skip my exercise for no really good reason, to be honest. And moving forward, so we've talked about the mindset behind generating willpower and also having goals for ourselves. However, the one thing that really does stick out to me personally, and I think to a lot of our audience as well, that comes to mind is failure. And that's something that often shakes us and can take away our motivation and our willpower in turn. How can we better understand failure and then deal with it appropriately?
I think it is to understand that failure is part of this whole piece. We're going to fail, and planning for it, and having either a friend to tell us to keep going, you know, have that at the side, which is wonderful, or a way to tell yourself to keep going. And also to say, well, if I look at what I'm letting myself down, you know, if I really wanted to get that university position, but I'm not putting in the hard work at the moment, and I perhaps failed to deliver an essay or something on time, you know, why would I throw everything out? It's the baby with the bathwater thing. Why wouldn't I just keep going and being persistent and get where I want to do? So, you know, failure is part of learning. You know, why did I not deliver on that? What let me down? What was going through my head that slowed me down or allowed me to go out for the evening instead of just sitting at my desk doing what I needed to do? It's learning from failure and being tougher as you go through. I think if we don't have failure, then we're too surprised by it when it happens. So it's quite important that we realize it's all part of learning, and it's very much part of willpower. And we're not perfect. I know so many people, when they join a new job, a new business, they want everything to be as easy and comfortable as it was in their old job. Well, that's not going to happen. You're going to fail. You're going to trip up. You're going to feel foolish. That is part of learning. Don't give up at that first 6 months, for example, in a new job. There's just so much you need to learn. That is part of the process.
Right, absolutely. And actually, having now talked about failure, having goals, progressing, you know, our career and planning around it, what really stuck out for me, and this is something that has literally just come up for me, is that my personal obstacle would be, for example, technology, simply because it's so integrated within our daily lives, both work and outside of work. Do you think that we should be more in tune with technology other than having it control us?
Oh, absolutely. I think we should get to know as much about technology as we possibly can. And I'm not one to be sitting here saying that, because my level of knowledge of technology is only as good as the last person I've talked to, you know, that can tell me a new thing to do. But I do believe that we need to do this. I mean, when I first started writing, I couldn't type. And how ridiculous, really. But I couldn't. And we're talking many years ago now when I first wrote my first book. And I took myself away with my parents with my laptop and I taught myself to type so that I could write the book. And I did it every morning at 7:30 before they got up. And I just kept going. And I'm so pleased I did. I'm by no means a fast typist, but it has allowed me to embrace technology in a much more fluent way. And I think we just need to know the latest stuff. I mean, I love it, actually. I even like watching Mr. Robot on television to see how you can actually disrupt the world with technology. Yes. I was watching the new series last night, and I'm thinking I'm learning so much from this. And is it not all about being open to learning of all varieties? And I think technology has to be up there as the stuff that we really need to get to grips with.
Right. And my last question for you, Ross, is the one that we ask every guest here on the podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading?
Ah, right. I've just started a book by Jodi Picoult called The Storyteller. I just love how she writes. Just beautiful language and funny as well. Wonderful sort of cryptic funniness. I just love it. So I've just started that one. But the one that I have just finished was Black Dogs by Ian McEwan. Again, what an arch storyteller. You know, there was one, really just one story at the heart of this book, but he managed to build up the whole of the book till you actually got to that final story about the black dogs in the last chapter. I mean, how clever. So you had this amazing sense of anticipation where he had all the characters lined up for you. And it was really fabulous and an amazing piece of writing.
With that, Ross, I would like to thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today on a podcast and talk about your book and all the great work that you do.
Not at all. I love the questions, by the way. Really good.
Absolutely my pleasure. And for our listeners, in the description below, you will be able to find links where you will be able to see more about Ross's work, what she does, and of course, more about her books and Willpower and all relevant social media profiles as well, not only to the podcast, but to Ross as well. And with that, again, thank you very much for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of LID Radio.